May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Before I talk about the gospel, which is what I'm going to do, I thought that I might want to say a word about that wonderful reading from Revelation that we've heard. And I think that it fits in with the peace that we see in the other two readings. Both those readings, there's conflict coming. Certainly in the gospel reading, this is on the, you know, only hours before Jesus' arrest. And in Philippians, although the scene by the riverside is very calm and peaceful, we know that not all of Paul and Silas' stay in Philippi was calm and peaceful. But that reading from Revelation gives us a picture of the peace that is ours eternally, the New Jerusalem. Beautiful in to regard, precious stones everywhere, walls for protection, and angels at the gates. But, you know, 12 gates, wow. So there's lots of access as well. And the river flowing through, so that there's no thirst. The trees that bear fruit, different fruit every month, no hunger. Healing in the leaves of the trees. And the light, no night here. The light of the Lamb, the light of God in the midst. No need for any temple because we're going to be there in the presence of God himself. What a wonderful picture. But I want to really talk this morning about the gospel. Today's reading from John's gospel is a part of the farewell discourse of Jesus to his disciples on the night of his betrayal. You're probably aware from your reading of the scriptures that the gospel of John is in many ways quite different from the other three gospels. And we believe that it was written sometime after the others. And it is, as well as a story of Jesus' life and ministry, also much more consciously a theological vision of God's action in coming among us in Jesus Christ. A theological vision that arises out of a deep reflection upon God and God's relationship with the world. It also speaks much more than the other Gospels do about the Trinity and about the relationships between the persons of the Trinity. And this is especially so right at the beginning of the Gospel in the prologue, and here in this farewell discourse that extends from a few verses, the last few verses of chapter 13, our gospel last week, to the end of chapter 17. In John's gospel, the washing of the disciples' feet at the beginning of chapter 13 and the farewell discourse take the place of a description of the Last Supper. In that narrative is there in the other three Gospels, but not in John's Gospel. This is Jesus' last hours with his disciples. The foot washing is Jesus' final act of love towards his disciples, the last of his signs to them, and it serves as the practical example of the manner in which they're to show their love for one another. Love is to be manifested in mutual service, which liberates and empowers both the giver and the receiver. And it is that love expressed in action, that love received and accepted, which forms the background for the farewell discourse. The final message, which is meant to encourage the disciples, to give them strength for the time that lies ahead, to reinforce and reassure them of Jesus' love, and broaden it by reminding them that Jesus' love for the disciples reflects the love of the Father for Jesus. It reminds them that their love for Jesus as his friends is to be made manifest in their obedience to his word and in their love for one another. And through it all is threaded the bright promise of the Spirit, the Advocate, the Paraclete, who will come to them. In the farewell discourse, Jesus foreshadows several crises that the disciples are going to soon face. In each of these, the Spirit of Truth, the one whom Jesus will ask the Father to give to his disciples, will be with them and in them, providing the help that they need. Jesus says that he will not leave them as orphans, but as he leaves them, he will ask the Father to give them another friend, another advocate. As he leaves them, the Spirit will take his place. And he speaks of the Spirit as the one who will teach them and who will remind them of what he, Jesus, has said. The disciples' learning is not to cease with Jesus' departure, rather they're to go on learning. The Holy Spirit will lead them to a deeper and deeper experience of the truth of God. And that's what the Spirit does for us, too. And so we have to make sure that we're open to the Spirit's teaching and eager for it to take place. It's really right for us to want to know more and more. The Spirit was also to remind the disciples of what Jesus had said to them. It was going to be through the work of the Spirit that their understanding of what Jesus had said and done as a part of his ministry in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem would come together in the disciples' minds. And that message was not just for the disciples gathered there in the upper room. It's also for us. The Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has said. It's the work of God's Spirit within us to aid us as we think through the issues that we face in the light of what Jesus said and did. You remember those bracelets that were around a while ago? Maybe they still are. What would Jesus do? WWJD, they had on them, those rubber bracelets. Well, that's what the Spirit helps us reflect upon. What would Jesus do? Our conduct is given meaning by the application of the principles of the gospel to our everyday living. And those principles often come to our minds in the form of a saying of Jesus or a verse from a psalm or some other part of the scriptures, or perhaps the memory of a time when God has previously acted in our lives or in the lives of others. And those memories, sometimes much richer than the thing that's remembered, are the activity of God's Spirit working within us. Jesus also talks of the activity of the Spirit in bearing witness to him in times of trouble or persecution, but also providing new insights and understanding of the direction in which God would have his church move as the circumstances of life and society change. The Spirit equips us for mission. The Spirit helps us to stand up for justice in our own relationships and in society at large. The Spirit gives us the eyes of mercy to see those who are in trouble and the hands of mercy to come to their aid. And we're going to hear a bit more about that after, at the end of the service today, because we have someone coming from the refuge in the city, the refuge for homeless people, to talk about standing up for justice and helping those who are disadvantaged. The Spirit gives us the eyes of mercy to see those who are in trouble and the hands of mercy to come to their aid. The Spirit sends us forth to speak of the salvation which we have found in Jesus, to share the good news. And the Spirit still today leads God's people into new endeavors. Jesus speaks in the farewell discourse of his imminent departure from the disciples, not as a matter of sorrow, but rather an occasion for joy, because it is the completion of the task that the Father has given him, and the means by which those who believe may enter into an eternal relationship with the triune God. For as the Spirit comes to us, as the Holy Spirit comes to us as the Spirit of the living Jesus, the risen Jesus, and both the Father and the Son come to abide with us, we are through Christ's death and resurrection brought into a mysterious union with the triune God, the union of abiding in God and God in us. The sign of that union, the outward sign of that inward grace, given to those who would be his disciples, members of Christ's body, the church, is baptism. And you'll remember that in our reading from Acts, that Paul and his party on the Sabbath didn't go to worship at the synagogue, but rather to a place outside the city gate near the river, where they had heard a group of people, presumably Gentiles, who were worshiping the God of the Jews, but people who perhaps weren't welcome at the synagogue worship because they were women. Well, Paul spoke to them about Jesus, and as soon as one of them, Lydia, a woman of substance, a trader in expensive purple dye, heard Paul's message, she believed, and she and her household were baptized. Now, Lydia's household would not include just family members, but also slaves and retainers. And while it would be safe to assume that these people would have known something about the God of the Jews, it was undoubtedly very much less than Lydia herself understood. So in bringing them, as well as herself, to baptism, my understanding would be that she undertook to share her own understanding of faith with them. An understanding that would soon be supported by the faith of others who came to faith in the city through Paul's teaching and preaching, and probably began to meet together at Lydia's house. At the beginning of the service this morning, we welcomed Lenny Wynack and his parents, David and Priscilla, and godparents, Susan and Michael, who brought Lenny to be baptized. And as we baptize Lenny this morning, it's not on the basis of his own faith that we do so, but rather on the basis of his parents' and godparents' faith. They will make the promises of baptism on Lenny's behalf, and also promise that as he grows up, he will learn the way of discipleship through their love for him and for all people, through their attitude of seeking out what is true and good, and their concern for justice. And hopefully, by with him being a part of a worshiping community where he may grow in his knowledge of God's message to the world, and at some point, probably as a teenager or a young adult, take upon himself in confirmation the promises that David and Priscilla, Susan and Michael make on his behalf today. Let us then rejoice as we welcome Lenny into the fellowship of the church. Let us rejoice as we remember God's action in coming among us as the Word incarnate in Christ Jesus. And let us rejoice in the work of the Spirit within our own lives, the one who teaches us the way of truth and brings to our memory the action of God in Christ, and the action of God in our lives and the lives of others, the lives of the saints, the lives of our mentors. Finally, let us rejoice as we seek to love and serve God and each other in the power of the Spirit, the gift of God to us. Amen.